Good afternoon. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Urban Show. We're very happy to have Brian McKinney on as a primary candidate for the United States Senate on the Rich Urban Show. So please introduce yourself.
Well, my name is Brian McKinney, and I'm pleased to be here. Most of you probably have never heard of me because I work a regular job for a living. I'm not an elected official. I'm not part of the swamp. There's a couple of good stories how I got here, but it's almost over. And I think from what I've heard, it's anybody's race right now. Most likely, you know, we're going to see a Jim Justice win. But if we do, the question is how much. And if we don't, you know, then everything I've heard from the people in the know was right, that he didn't have those kind of numbers that were being reported. And people were just tired of the establishment. So I'm not expecting to be the next senator on the 15th, but you know, it's possible. I'm not telling you that it's not at this point. So I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, anything's possible.
Yeah. I mean, even the state GOP chair said 30 to 60% of people haven't made up their mind yet in this race.
I believe that. I'm definitely not a Justice fan. Well, I can tell you right out, although I guess I shouldn't be too biased as the host of the show, but yeah, he wouldn't get my vote.
You know, although if it was just between him and Mooney, it would be a tough choice, because here you have a 22-year corrupt, you know, D.C. swamp guy, Mooney. He votes most of the time the way we want on abortion and guns. But then other times he's like, well, let's send $50 billion to Ukraine and, you know, hire some border agents instead of putting the military at the border. So he's about 75% of what I like. But I really didn't like the fact that he'd been in office for so long and had zero, you know, private sector experience. And that's all I have for my career. You know, Justice, he's older. You know, he's a big government. You know, I'd say he's 50% Republican, 50% tyrant. Some of the things that he does are great since he became a Republican. And then when it gets to vaccines and some of this other stuff, you're like, that's just not what government's supposed to do. And it's supposed to stay out of our lives and let us make decisions ourselves, yeah, instead of being our parent and our babysitter. And he doesn't understand that. And you can't teach a dog that old new tricks, I don't think. So,
yeah, got a good point. Yeah, well, that's right. There were a lot of issues, like with the mandate, endless mandates, and you know.
Well, I remember the night that he shut down our state during COVID. We were out at a pizza joint, and I thought, there's the guy that'll stand up for our freedom, and he failed us. And so did all the Republicans, pretty much, in D.C. I mean, you know, the joke is they had this big, you know, protest on January 6th. Where was the protest for our freedom when they hit pause on our liberty during COVID? And I wasn't paid for 6 months. And I had to take handouts, you know, from local churches and the government, because I had 5 kids at the time and I had no income. And, you know, my pride had to be swallowed. And I had to say, look, the government is that powerful now. And it's not the reason I ran, but it's certainly something that I think about now that I'm a candidate. The government can never get that powerful again. And there are people who still want you to wear a mask everywhere today. And they force you if they could.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into a couple of things, sure, that you already mentioned. And I looked on your platform, too, so we'll talk about some of those things. So you mentioned the Ukraine funding. So there was just this bill, which, by the way, Congressman Mooney voted for. The $60 billion to Ukraine, would you have supported that?
No. The more you delve into this issue with Russia, the more you realize it's a cultural issue, and that, you know, the media is not telling us the truth, and our elected officials are not telling us the truth. And I've heard everything from that's the country all these politicians do their money laundering through, to the point where, you know, that's where all Joe Biden's like secrets are, you know, like people talk when you're a candidate and you hear things that you can't, it's hard to believe, but then eventually you're like, I'm not surprised anything I hear from anybody anymore. you know, when you're running for federal office. And if you personally want to give money to Ukraine for diapers or bombs, write a check, give it to their embassy. But I think we keep poking the bear. Russia's this giant bear that's got nuclear weapons, and over a million of their soldiers have died because we gave bullets and money to a country that we're not historically in alliance with. And I thought about it recently that, you know, we're lucky we're not in World War III right now because of that. I mean, take another country. Like, do you think China would have rolled over if a million of their soldiers had died from American bullets in an intervention with in another country that they might have invaded? Probably not. So, I mean, I'm no super fan of Putin, but he's got to be a pretty cool character for not just wiping us off the face of the planet. If you think about it in those terms, I mean, those were people. And, you know, the one great thing that Donald Trump said, like, it'd be over in 24 hours if I was president. He's like, I just want the killing to stop. And I really agree with that statement that he made, is that we can find a better way today than just going and killing hundreds of thousands of
Ukrainian people, Russian people. Yeah. Yeah, and destroying their country.
Oh, it's terrible. I have a friend of mine who was former CIA, and he goes, Brian, the men are all dead. They've died in Ukraine for the most part. And it's these women, these old people, these children that are fighting left. And it's crazy to think about it, but he's not making that up because he's in the know, you know? And so it's just crazy. I mean, we don't even know why it started, right? I mean, can anybody tell you that? I mean, Russia will tell you they wanted a buffer zone to protect themselves from NATO, and they needed that port. But then you hear, well, it was about oil, and the people they invaded want to be Russian anyway. So again, it's so confused. It's like I don't even know what to think. And it's a shame we're spending that kind of money when I have met dozens upon dozens of veterans during my campaign who are one-time homeless. And a lot of the homeless in this country are veterans that need real help. And then our border, it's like there's nothing there. This is just an incredible invasion of people that do not like us. A lot of them are, you know, Chinese military trained, and worse. Some of these Islamic terrorists are just streaming across the border, and we have no idea where they're going. I mean, it's just,
that's
historically, that's insane. If you think about it, like the fall of the Romans from the attack of the.
Right. So what would you do as a House, or not a House, Senator to, you know, about the border issue?
I would really push to get the military to take over the border as a military base and let all the branches basically control that. I think it would be a permanent solution to keep us safe. You let the Air Force fly, you know, do all their drills. And if we have to, we build more waterways for the Navy. I mean, we just basically make it the scariest place on earth if you're a bad guy. And when you get there and there's a military, there's a bunch of signs, and then there's a fortress, basically wall. You're like, I ain't going to cross that. I'm going to knock on the door and say, hey, anybody in? And they can give you some papers and say, here's how you get into this country legally. But I think nothing less than that. Hiring another 500 to 1,500 Border Patrol agents is not going to do anything. And that's what Mr. Mooney said during one of his town hall meetings that he does over the phone. And then he said, we need to go and hire them really quickly because other countries need our money. And I was just so shocked that he thinks that the role of the United States government, especially the elected officials, is to give people in other parts of the world money. That's not, you can't find that in the Constitution. That's what not what George Washington and all those patriots led and died for. It's for us to give our wealth to other people that don't want the freedoms that we do, that really aren't our friends in the end.
All right. So what about the recent bill for the FISA extension? Would you have voted for that?
No. I mean, I really want the CIA and some of these agencies to keep a good eye on foreigners, but not friendlies, like American citizens. And I think it's a lot easier going to judges and saying, hey, we've identified 5,000 American citizens that have to be a part of one group that have crossed the threshold of, we think they're a threat. They might be building bombs or just be part of funding Hamas or whatever it is. But the rest of them we've looked at and we said, okay, they're not the problem. I mean, again, we're innocent until proven guilty, But the FISA and some of the stuff that the government's done since 9/11 is reminiscent to that Tom Cruise movie about future crime. You know, they're trying to go above and beyond. And I have to say, you're not really free if you can't fail and if people can't commit crime. Like, the justice system is in this country isn't supposed to stop all crime or bad things from happening. It's to go out and investigate it if it does happen. And I think if we're better examples to the world and we kind of, you know, just pay attention to our needs, a lot of these people that hate us and want to do ill will may not want to hurt us so much if we're kind of leaving a lot of the people around the world alone, which is what kind of got us into this mess in the first place of us butting in everywhere, and we shouldn't just because of there's oil or
well, yeah, like Ukraine's an example of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I mean,
yeah.
And like, take something like Afghanistan. You ever think that how many thousands of years will it take until they have a 7-Eleven at every street corner and a Starbucks and a Walmart? I mean, that's what you need to have people not want to be. They're acting like they're in the Middle Ages. I mean, kings and slaves is really what they're doing. And we just need to leave that alone and say, just we'll protect our own and we'll just focus on growing our economy. And if our friends need help, we can help them, but not just throw money at stuff. I mean, they're saying that most of the money that was sent to Ukraine, it's over like, what, $400 billion, can't be accounted for?
Right.
I just laugh because that's the way it is with government. And that's why people are so tired. Like, how can you do this? And how do people not go to prison for this?
Okay. Well, speaking of the money, so there was in March the $1.2 trillion continuing resolution for the rest of the year. What would you do to reel in spending as a senator? Or what's your opinion on that? Would you have voted for that?
No. I think, I talk about this a lot with people, and we joke about how big these spending bills are, just piles of paper that nobody reads, and they're put together by lawyers rather than elected officials. And I would just basically from day one say, look, if you ever want my vote, that spending bill has to be one page. It doesn't have to be super itemized. I mean, you can reference, you know, certain binders, but it has to be lean. It has to be what the purpose of if you want to know what to spend the money on, read the preamble. Somebody said that to me. They asked me what was the function of government in my mind. And I kind of kept it down to building military when you needed it, taking care of your veterans, and delivering the mail. And he said, well, a better way to explain it, this person said, was to read the preamble. Now, that's not the way we speak anymore, so you need to understand that. But again, it doesn't say, well, you should give $100 million to fruit fly research at the University of Nebraska. That's not a good use of our money. It's a good use of the money from a corporation to fund that, who's going to benefit from that research, right? And so government has become the spend all, thinking that makes a better society, where it doesn't, because it's taken
you
half
mean the
of
preamble
what,
to the Constitution you're talking
yeah
about?
Okay. The preamble to the Constitution, and it's great because it's like, you know, it's a paragraph, but then it's like, okay, so what does that really mean? Well, then you have to have a debate on that. But I always joke 95% of government spending is not needed. And I would just get rid of everything that I could think is either something, a function of state government, charity, or is a nice idea, but not really what government exists to do. Because think about it. If you look at government as an entity throughout history, it takes and enslaves. So you're asking it to do good. It's contrary to its very nature. And the founders of our country thought, well, we need some kind of government, and we're going to create this box, like the Al Gore kind of lockbox of the Constitution, right? And to keep that monster from getting out of control. I think they forgot a couple of things, like term limits, because they assumed everybody would appreciate their freedom from the tyrannical British.
Yeah,
right?
I had a question about the term limits. How long would they be? Like, how many terms?
2 terms for the U.S. Senate or 3 for the House at the federal level. You don't get both. This isn't, okay, I'm going to serve 6 years in the House of Representatives and then another 12 in the Senate. It should be either or. And then you might say, well, what if I want to run for House and then Senate? We might be able to figure out a maximum amount of time between both that you can serve. And same thing, these states need to start term limiting their delegates and their senators or their House members, depending on what state they're from. They call them different things, but you know, I get to some of these Meet the Canada events and someone's like, well, I've been there 20 or 40 years and I want to throw up. I'm like, what kind of damage have you done to Liberty? And I drive around the state all the time. So much abject poverty. And it's not because the free market failed. It's because government did its job good by taking too much money, too much regulation. Well, we have 13 coal mines instead of we should have 300. You know, we should have businesses begging to come to West Virginia, but instead nobody wants to come here unless you give them free money. Cut me a $300 million check and carve out some exceptions on the taxes and regulations for 5 to 10 years and I'll come. But then like the logging industry up in the Northern Neck, as soon as that's over, I'll leave because you never fix the problem why they want to come here in the first place.
Okay. So talking about, like you're talking about, you know, poverty in West Virginia, one thing I think is related to all societal problems is that, like right now we have 47% outside of marriage birth rate in West Virginia.
Yeah.
So when you don't have stable two-parent husband and wife families, then I think that's the core issue of all issues. Because then, you know, you might have things like drug use or, you know, out of wedlock birth we already mentioned, or, you know, people feeling, girls feeling suicidal or all those kind of issues, you know, or getting arrested or suspended, et cetera. Do you agree that that's true? We need to, you know, I mean, that's a kind of a core cause of societal issues. And should we be talking about that more, you know, how we can strengthen families?
I think that if you were going to point to one reason that's all happening, is the lack of jobs that give self-worth and dignity. And so if you're a young man, you get the girl pregnant and you don't have somewhere where you can go and get a good job, your parents, if they're around, are going to take care of the kids. That's the irony about the state. It's such a pro-life state, but you know, I was in Taylor County a couple of weeks ago, and I think they said at the meeting that 44% of the children in that city were with folks other than their biological parents, or they didn't have a two-parent household, which mostly meant they were with the grandparents or other family.
How big is, you said Taylor, West Virginia?
Yeah, and I thought it was 17,000 people.
Okay.
Now, you'd have to double-check that, but it really hit me hard. I talked about it a lot for the next 2 or 3 weeks, and so I think that the lack of jobs, I mean, because these kids, if they get their GED, if they graduate, a lot of them are like, oh, man, I'm going to work part-time at the gas station. They're not thinking, okay, I want to be the farmer that grows crops on Mars with Elon Musk, or I'm going to invent the flying car. They're thinking, man, there's not much for me. And if you're a farmer, I mean, the government has made it so hard to transfer that, you know, to your children and your grandchildren, stay in the family. They don't want to do that. It's hard work, and COVID kind of broke the backbone of the American, you know, worker of certain ages. But I think if you got good jobs in here, even if people weren't not making the best personal choices in, you know, having children until they got married, I think that it would be a lot easier for a lot of these young folks to stay together, and because there would be an economic future for them with better jobs. I mean, we're not talking $200,000 jobs. And the problem is, let's look at Form Energy, right?
Okay. Yeah, I've learned a little about that. Go ahead.
Oh, my gosh, the stuff I've heard. We're advocating for a lot of those jobs in Ohio and Pennsylvania rather than here. And my solution would have been, instead of bringing this Chinese Bill Gates company, we should have gone to Honda and Toyota and Ford and said, look, we want to build 500,000 trucks and regular lead acid batteries in the state next 5 to 10 years, because that's what people want to buy, that's what they're using, and you don't need this super advanced educated class. You just need people who want to work a decent job for a decent living. We've got the coal and the ability to make the steel for that here. And that would have given probably tens of thousands of jobs rather than what Form Energy is going to end up having, you know, and a lot of that money is going over to our enemy, China, and Bill Gates, who hates the state. He hates coal. He hates oil. You know, he hates cows. He wants us all
eat all right. But I do have one related question to that. Sure. So about the issue of the jobs, I hear what you're saying. And generally, I think as far as I know, there's still kind of a, you know, soft market in the sense, or is that the right term? In other words, employers are still looking for jobs. I think, granted, some of the jobs may not be the kind you're talking about. Maybe they're more like service sector, whether it be, you know, Home Depot or some other place. But one thing I've noticed, or you give me your opinion on, quite a lot of the workforce is out of the job market, whether it's because, I don't know, drugs or alcohol or, like you say, you know, government easy money, although I guess now they're not handing out $2,000 checks. But they're out of the job market. Like, they're not, I mean, I know some people like that. Like, they're not looking for a job. Or am I wrong?
No, you're right in some ways. The problem with, if you got addicted to drugs because of whatever reason, and then you actually got help, but you can't get a good job, then you're trying to, you know, you send out your resume, and every time you've got to fill out that little form, I don't know if it's still legal or not to ask if you're a former felon, or I don't think they should, once you've served your time, I don't think they should be able to hold that against you in any way when you're looking for employment, unless it's like top secret, you know, military stuff. But a lot of these people just make bad decisions. They go to prison for a couple of years, they get out, they want to make something better themselves. And I haven't seen, you know, I have not seen an employment application for a long time, and whether or not you're a former felon or convicted of crime, but that shouldn't be on there.
Okay. Know? Yeah. I mean, I hear what you're saying about the economic things, and that's important. Other candidates I've interviewed, you know, have also mentioned, you know, the lack of jobs. And it's true, like here in Jefferson County, a lot of people may work in DC metro area. Not may, do, because we're close to that. Of course, that's not true in, you know, most of West Virginia. But, yeah, I don't know. I just think kind of personally, I tilt toward the idea that, you know, the family structure is such an important thing, and that we could, you know, I actually run a nonprofit, you know, if you notice, could teach youth, regardless of whatever situation the parents are in, they should wait to have sex. And to me, that's the most definitive thing in their success formula. Because they don't have kids until they're married and, you know, they graduate from high school. And also the one statistic we quote says you should get a full-time job, like you're mentioning. But then you're so much more likely to have all these issues, and you're much more likely to not be in poverty and be successful. Or do you not agree?
No, I agree totally. I mean, I'm not perfect by any means, but I knew what I wanted in life, and I didn't want to struggle. I mean, every penny I've made, since graduating college, I either had to make myself, or sometimes a little bit of a hand up from a parent because I wasn't making enough money working in D.C. But, you know, there's no piggy bank for me to go and find. The real question is, should we penalize people for not working that are able-bodied? And then it comes down to, well, that's a big, powerful government again. So
what do you mean penalize them?
Well, that's the good question. If somebody is an able-bodied male and he's sitting around.
Able-bodied.
No. I mean, like, no, able-bodied. Let's say somebody like myself, who's just choosing to live off the government or whatever. Should there be a fine? Should there be possible prison time for not working? Should you have to prove that you can't? And the answer probably is yes. But I don't like the idea of the federal government taking care of that. I think it has to be at the state level, because at least the idea of state government is it's easier to control that monster when you're more easier connected to it than some far off city of Rome that you see on television that you've never seen in real life. So although I don't like all the corruption in Charleston, I would trust them over the federal elected officials to set in requirements to work. I mean, in my philosophy, or the way I live in my world, I don't work, I don't eat. Now I have six little children and a wife that I'm responsible for, so I have to work extra hard to make sure that they can eat first and have a house over there. But and it's hard when you're young because you're very selfish. But I think if we fix some of the education too, and are teaching these kids what they need to, be competitive in the world against the Chinese, the Japanese, the German children. What is it? I love the fact that the Japanese, when you're in, was it first grade, one day a week, I think they clean the classroom and they teach them like there's a bed in there, how to make the bed and how to like make yourself like prepared for the world.
Right. Kind of well. Like more, I would call that like more civic minded maybe.
Yeah. But I think half of the school day for these kids, I mean, it's hard enough for you and I to have sat in a cubicle or an office for 8 to 10 hours a day. But these kids are being asked to get there at what, like 7 in the morning and stay till like 3. That's a long time to sit there in a chair. I had PE every day when I was in high school because I was an athlete. And I think they need to be outside half the day.
Okay.
And not 10 hours of homework. Things that they can learn that'll, that are interesting and are not going to confuse them on who they are. You know?
Okay. Let's ask a couple other questions.
Sure.
Limited time. What about vaccination choice for COVID or any vaccine? Are you in favor of that? Should the pharma have liability? I know since 1986, they don't have liability for injuries. Go ahead.
So I went to Penn State University, and my degree was in health policy. So it was like pre-med, kind of for people who are going to run hospitals and nursing centers and stuff like that. And we used to laugh at those pharmaceutical companies because we had all the graphs. We looked at when vaccines were put in historically on the life cycle of a disease.
At the very end, right?
At the very end, yes. So they never tell you that truth, right? And I can't believe that if you think about it, what is it, like 200 to 300 drugs a year are taken off the market because people die as side effects that were recently just approved by the FDA or years before that were considered perfectly healthy and safe. I don't trust that stuff. I have been vaccinated. I have permanent health issues because of that. I've chosen to not vaccinate 5 of my 6 kids because I know better now. I can do research and I know that the stuff, there's no liability in that to me, that there's a semi-secret congressional fund where if you can prove your injury enough, that they will give you lots of money, but then they won't talk about it as being,
Yeah, it's hard to get compensation from that. Yeah. I've heard it's very, very tilted.
It is.
Meaning most people don't get compensation.
Yeah, because it's so many hoops and hurdles to go through. And so I think it needs to be 100% parent choice, not the schools. And when Justice doubled down, said private school children must be vaccinated. And then what's funny is I'll bring this up and somebody will say in the room, a candidate or an elected official, well, you do have religious and medical exemption. Everybody laughs. And when I get home and I bring that up, my wife curses.
No, you don't. Not in West Virginia.
Well, they say you do, but then you don't. And it's like,
okay, if you don't want to go to school,
yeah,
it's like saying, okay, you can do anything you want, but we won't give you a driver's license. Just walk.
And we homeschool because of that, because I don't want somebody else to force me to put something into my children's. The only thing the government should force me to do is feed my kids, take care of them, not abuse them. Right.
Right.
Those are common sense things. But if you tell me I have to feed them stuff into their blood that is questionable and I know is very dangerous. No way. That's too big of a government and that should never happen. It's almost worth having a revolution over, in my opinion. And it's surprising we didn't, because I remember going over to like parks and seeing that police tape and said, wow, in my lifetime, I've seen a pause on freedom. Makes me think of,
Nazi
Germany and Russia. And
It caught my attention here, like in the county when we had the COVID stuff, like the little park down the way. They took all the park benches out, so you couldn't go there. And then I went with some friends. They said, let's have a Memorial Day picnic there anyway. What are they going to do, arrest you if you show up at the park?
And they would in certain cities and stuff. But the police officers were, you know, they didn't understand the Constitution. They would. And sometimes we would just go over the underneath the tape and get on the swings anyways. Sometimes I'd just take all that tape and throw it away.
Yeah, let's talk about one more issue. I noticed you mentioned that. So do you support national concealed carry?
Oh, 100%. I'm probably the most pro-gun person you've ever met. I think if you want a hobby and you want to build your own weapons, go ahead. You're responsible for whether they work or not. I mean, this is not the permission slip from government. I don't think weapons should have serial numbers. I should be able to carry concealed without question. Now, maybe violent felons should lose the ability, or sexual predators should lose the ability to carry guns. But that's it. I mean, you know, between you and me, every time I go to one of these events, I got to go through Maryland, and I am proudly a felon when I'm in Maryland carrying. Now I'm not carrying on me, but we stop at a gas station 2 a.m. coming back. I'm not going to die because of some politician in Maryland not understanding the Bill of Rights. Right. So it's just like a free, you know, legal person, felon, legal person, because of the way the highways are.
It is kind of crazy. Yeah, you're right. You have to pretty much, if you want to go from, like, I'm in the Eastern Panhandle to Pennsylvania, you have to pass through Maryland for sure. Unless you want to drive a few hundred miles around.
Oh. And I know people that do that because they will not enter Maryland because they always want to be armed. And I'm like, that's just silly. And I would throw those elected officials, those judges in prison until they signed a statement and says, I'm going to leave the Second Amendment alone.
Yeah. So, okay. So you support, you know, the right to bear arms. That's a good thing to know. One more thing, we touched on it with the family issue, but do you think do you think sexual abstinence before marriage should be the standard for school-age children? Sexual abstinence before marriage?
I don't think you can criminalize.
I didn't say criminalize.
I know, no, but I'm just saying.
I didn't say standard. How am I talking about legal?
That's what I teach my children.
Is that what you should teach children? That's basically what
I think so. I think you should teach it in a very ethical way, but don't bring religion to it and say, hey, you want to be successful as a woman. And they need to be segregated. The girls need to go with the girls, and the guys need to go with the guys and say, look, guys, I know, you know, it's one of those things in life that feels good. But guess what? 99% of your day, of any day, you're not doing it. So I'm only asking to give it up a little bit more until you've got your life in order, so that you can do that and there's no risk of, you know, negative repercussions and consequences to the girls. I mean, I remember studying these STDs, and the ones we come up since that time are even so scary. It's tough to use a public bathroom when you know what you know that's out there that can't be treated.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we talk about that in our program. We have extensive education materials, urban life training on that. Okay. It's good to know that. So as we're like coming toward the conclusion, sure, would you like to like say anything else about differentiating yourself from the other candidates? We actually already have touched on that, but anything you'd like to say in conclusion on why people should choose to vote for you, and anything else you want to say?
Well, there's a great quote I have here that I've been using in my speeches now. I get usually 3 to 5 minutes in front of an audience. And it's a quote from John Adams. And it goes, I have accepted a seat in the House of Representatives, and thereby have consented to my own ruin, to your ruin, and to the ruin of our children. I give you this warning that you may prepare your mind for your fate. And it really struck to me that being a House member or a senator in D.C. is not a great honor. It's something that should be a burden on one's heart and soul every day, knowing you have so much power and everyone's wealth to do with whatever you please. And it should, knowing that, should make you do as little as possible to ever affect other people's lives, except in grave danger. I mean, I can't justify taking any of your money. I would push to get rid of the income tax and the ATF and the IRS and get us out of the United Nations. And I'm not an isolationist, but I understand the government, historically has killed, billions of people. That's what it does best. It takes our wealth and it kills people, you know, builds a military or funds military. And, you know, only people in this country deciding to live by the golden rule. Like, I'm not out taking my neighbor's stuff that I might like today. Not because it's against the law, because I want to be treated the same way. So our freedom is more of a choice, not necessarily, you know, just because it's there are laws against crime. It's I have that freedom, and that's why I want to be here. And I've seen what the rest of the world is selling, and I don't want it. So what really sets me apart from Alex Mooney, he has no private sector experience. Not a day. 22 years as an elected official, even if I agree with him, everything he's done, and if he wasn't this crook under investigation, I mean, have you seen that he's taken over $40,000 since 2017 of campaign money? You know, and he
was. Oh, I looked at some of the links you posted.
Oh, it's terrible.
I had heard a little, but you gave more detail. Yeah.
Yeah, I've read a lot of that article, and he'll lose the right to vote if he gets guilty of these, because they're all felonies. These aren't like little misdemeanors. And his world is connected to my world. His wife taught two of my children in a homeschooling course. You know, they go to another church in the same faith. But I'm like, that doesn't matter. He's not a good man. He's not someone, nor is justice someone I would like my sons to grow up like. And I would not say to them, this is somebody that's a man of honor. I really try to be that way for my children, because, you know, every time they turn on TV, they're seeing everything that you don't want to be in men, for the most part. Men that aren't manly, men that don't work, you know, men, every day there's, you know, nonstop emergency sirens in my county now because of all the crime and stuff like that in Berkeley County. It's, you know, so they're getting exposure to the opposite of what you want to be as a man all the time. And it's really hard to just be like, hey, here's how you're supposed to live. Simply leave other people alone, you know. And so I know I'm just tired of watching bad people decide our future. And I decided it was either give my wife a new back porch on our fixer-upper or run for office. She's like, I would have loved the porch for now. But, you know, yeah, she wears my campaign shirt every day. And my kids love it. We went to 15 Christmas parades. They don't understand why I'm doing this, though. They're not old enough yet. My oldest is 11. She's the one that's the reason I'm here, because she turned to me one day during a discussion about politics and said, Dad, if you were in charge, would you do the right thing? And I was like, well, that's an invitation to shut up and do something, you know?
Wow.
And I looked at my two candidates and I was like, I can't vote for any of these guys. And not only that, they're so bad that I'm going to sacrifice and give up a lot of what I don't have, which is time and money, to try to give people another choice. And I'll tell you what, it's amazing meeting people of all ages. When they finally find that I exist, they go, well, I was going to hold my nose and vote for this person, but I can actually vote for you instead of voting against somebody else. So, and if the people that, I mean, I've heard that Mooney's polling at like 8 to 10% from the people in the know right now. And if that's true, and if justice is not at that 56%, which is unreal, if he's
56%,
at that, that's what they say. If he's in the 20 to 30 range, I'll tell you what, anything's possible. The people go research the candidates.
Yes. Yeah, so hopefully this will help. We'll put it up. It'll be on any podcast platform at the Rich Durbin Show or the video will be at visionroot.org. So we really, really, so thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Yeah, and giving us choices and making those sacrifices of your time.
And if I win, I will love to be back.
Yes, great. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for joining today on the Richard Durbin Show.
All right, have a good one, sir. Thank you.